gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio with the garden editor, Claire.
Good morning. It's January 2024 and I've got Claire, the garden editor, here with me today for the first one for 2024 as well. Welcome along, Claire.
Hello, welcome. Lovely to see you all again on the radio, and a happy new year.
Thanks.
Did you have a good one?
I did. Thanks very much for joining me today. Hope that I didn't take away too much of you eating cake over Christmas. Are you all right?
Oh no!
Did you eat a lot?
I was like surgically attached to a Stilton cheese, pretty much, and I just treated it as my my lifeline, and just ate all the food and got out and about a bit in pieces, but very much enjoyed some restorative time.
We do overindulge, don't we, at Christmas?
We do, but then I always think we should take our cues from nature. And nature, this is a time when a lot of things are in hibernation and eating a lot and sleeping a fair amount.
That's right, yeah.
So I prefer to call it getting in touch with our roots.
Rather than, that's good enough for me. Well, welcome along to the show today. It's the first garden editor of 2024, and we're talking about birds today, aren't we?
That's right. Tweety birds, Tweety birds. But a couple of things first. I mean, we had that snow starting to come down and went on Monday, didn't we?
It wasn't much, was it?
No, but it links in a bit to why I chose to talk about birds, because it's something that we can really do in our gardens during the winter time. Mm. Just on that quick one before we go any further, there was a question which came in on Facebook, I think, from someone called Merrick, who was asking about, the temperatures are dropping. Mm. Is there anything we need to do about frosts? I don't know how you felt the temperature, but I've certainly felt it much.
Put it this way, I've got a jumper on. And apparently it's going to get colder, isn't it, the next few days towards the end of the week as well. I think it's going to get down to minus figures, is it? I don't know.
Yep, I think so. Well, it will be a welcome break, won't it, from being so wet and rainy and soggy. So the first thing to point out is it's quite normal for us to have minus temperatures at this time of year. So although we've had a real mild winter and a very wet winter so far, it's totally normal for us to experience temperatures around this range at this time of year. So a lot of your plants, there might be a bit of a shock for them to have the temperatures drop, but they are well accustomed, most plants in most gardens, to this type of temperature. So don't worry about whether or not plants are likely to be hit by frosts. You're not likely to see things growing and coming into blossom like magnolias or cherry trees at this time of year. It's far too early for that. So you don't need to worry about trying to protect blossoms or things like that. And similarly, things like bulbs. Oh, have I told you this really super interesting fact about bulbs before? Dave, tell me if I have. But they've got special antifreeze in their leaves.
Are they? You didn't tell me that.
Oh, maybe I didn't. So
About bulbs and stuff, didn't we? But you didn't tell me about plant antifreeze.
Plant antifreeze. So plants like snowdrops, which come up really early, as the name snowdrop kind of implies, they have special antifreeze proteins in their leaves, which means even though the temperatures are below zero, it doesn't freeze the liquids within the leaves, so they can still carry on growing.
Like thermal pants. I suppose, isn't it? Like thermal underwear, like long johns.
Or a hot water bottle, or thermal pants. Take your pick of self or your slanket or whatever it is.
What's a slanket?
Oh, these are kind of like blankets which you wear over you, like a poncho. And some of them come with electronic heating pads.
Oh my god,
as well.
I've heard it all.
I know.
Have you? Yeah. I bet you got one.
No, I don't. Oh, I do have a hot water bottle, but I have so far held the line on a slanket.
Okay, all right. Sorry, we diverse from what you were talking about then. Sorry.
No, that's not a problem. So as I say, most frosts, not a problem at all. Nothing to protect in terms of flowering things at this time of year. If there are any plants which you are worried about, you can wrap them up in something called horticultural fleece, which is kind of it's made of plastic and it's a soft kind of covering which keeps the snow and keeps ice off particular plants. It's not really needed at this time of year because you're not likely to have many kind of tender things out and about. And someone on Facebook was asking, is it really sustainable to use that or are there any alternatives? Which I thought was quite a good question.
Yeah, you can get a slanket for them.
But again, probably blankets are made from bits of plastic as well.
Yeah, probably. And you'd have to run electric cable out to them, wouldn't you, as well?
Exactly.
You've got electrics in your garden.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, as much as I love plants, I think even that would be too far for me.
Yeah.
But you can. I did do some research, and you can get like sheep's wool based fleece now. So literally, just using what the sheep have discarded and using that as things to protect your plants, which I thought was quite a cunning way of using what is often seen as a waste product in the sheep industry and reusing it. So if you do need horticultural fleece, have a look up at the sheep's fleece alternatives if you are so minded to do so.
That's a good idea there.
Yeah, sounds quite tempting, really. So after all those diversions, should we come back to our main topic?
Yeah, let's do that.
So birds, why do we like to have birds in the garden?
Well, see, I don't really like to have birds in the garden. They just get on my nerves.
Especially certain birds.
Some of them are like little robins are quite nice and cute. But it's the pigeons that...
Oh, pigeons. Yeah, pigeons aren't top of many people's bird lists.
I'm sure, you know, if you're a pigeon lover, they're lovely birds, but not my cup of tea.
Yeah. But so what we like to encourage in our gardens is what we call garden birds. So things like the robins, the finches, the tits and things like that, more than the pigeons. And we like them in our gardens because not only are they, you know, cool to look at and do all sorts of things, they can have lots of help in our gardens.
And they're little.
They need
help with food, don't they?
Absolutely.
Because if you put food down for them, like pigeons just come down and scrunch it up and they're gone. And you think, oh, okay.
Well, yeah, that's why we say, but if you want to encourage biodiverse birds and not just pigeons, bird feeders are much better because the pigeons with their little pigeon feet can't grip on to the small landing areas.
Oh, okay.
So the three things we like to give birds in the garden are food, water and shelter.
Yeah.
So food at this time of year, there might be some berries and things like that out and about in your garden. And we could talk about what to plant to encourage those. Mm. But there's also lots of opportunities just to fill up your bird feeders. Lots of high fat, high seed content bird feeders. They're quite easy to make if you want to make them yourself. Just an old Coke can bottle. And filling it up and shoving a few holes through it will give you a basic bird feeder.
Yeah.
But the reason why we do that is if we feed the birds during the winter, it keeps them going and keeps them accustomed to our gardens, such that in spring and summer, where there might be kind of bugs or things you want to encourage the birds to eat in your garden, they know it's a great place to go to get basically free food. So the more we look after birds in the winter, the more they'll look after our gardens in the height of the growing season.
It's like getting a discount card from McDonald's, isn't it?
Absolutely. Buy one, get one free.
So you can either
plant plants which have berries at this time of year. Things like holly berries are really good for birds. You might have seen lots of those out and about at the moment. Or pyracantha, which is called firethorn. That has great orange berries and red berries, which are, you know, beautiful to look at, but also really good for wildlife. And then there's also things like apple trees and crab apples, because some birds, like robins and blackbirds, really like eating bits of apple. Because again, it's, you know, it's got water in there as well as the sugars and the energy the birds need to keep them going over winter.
All right, not just nuts then? Not just like seeds and stuff?
Yeah, nuts and seeds are really good. I mean, I hopped down to my local shop and top up. The important thing is, once you start feeding, is not to stop. So you do have to kind of see it through the winter.
Yeah.
Because birds will spend a lot of energy, particularly, say, you know, once it's the rain has stopped. So once it's been wet, all the birds have found it much harder to forage for food. So now it's stopped raining, fingers crossed. They're all super hungry. So the more we can feed them and then get them into the habit of accessing our food in our gardens, the better that will be.
Okay, that's sort of good. That's some good tips there.
Yeah. And it doesn't cost much. You know, bird seed is, you know, cheap as chips, really.
Yeah.
Probably actually a lot cheaper than chips. And then the other thing to add alongside that, particularly as the temperatures drop, is a bit of water. So if you can put out a saucer of water, just, you know, a couple of inches deep maximum.
We've got a dog bowl that's full of water out there. Sometimes they drink that.
Yeah.
Much to the dogs.
Exactly.
Oh, God. Anyone think, yeah. God, the dog's not happy about it. God. The dog thinks they're going to drink it all or something. The dog would just sit there and watch them. And right. then once they've finished, he'd go out and then he'd drink it.
He has, yeah, I mean, I don't know about your dog, but my dog, you know, he's got free, you know, nice clean tap water inside. Will he drink that?
That's right.
Will he heck?
Yeah.
It's always the dirtiest, filthiest puddle.
Yeah.
There's no, if you do put sauces or things out in the garden, just give them occasional wash and make sure it's, you know, it's good and clean.
Yeah.
And similarly with your bird feeders, if you're just topping them up now from last winter, it's a good idea to give them a thorough clean, because otherwise you might end up infecting the birds, and that's what we really
so
we
with,
really
with
don't
the bird seeds in, what about fat balls? Is it worth putting fat balls out, or does that does that encourage the wrong birds?
No, fat balls are also really, really good, and they're good to do in winter rather than in summer, because in the summer the fat can sometimes actually melt and then you end up with gooey mess. But those are also good. I grew up in the days when you made fat balls with seed in old yogurt pots in primary school. Hang them upside down. So things like that, super easy to make. And they give, I can't remember what particularly likes the fat balls, but finches, for example, really like Niger seeds. And then sunflower seeds are good for tits. And the mix of kind of general bird seed as well will do for robins and blackbirds and things like that.
Good. I bet loads of birds come around your garden, don't they?
Well, do you know what? I had no bird feeders 2 years ago, and I really thought, okay, I'll give it a try. And I've been surprised at how quickly they've come. And the reason why I'm mentioning it now in January is at the end of January, the RSPB has something called the Big Bird Watch.
Is that where you watch for an hour? Is it between certain dates or something? See, I've done my own work.
You absolutely have. So I think it's the last weekend in January, and it's sit and watch your garden for an hour at some point over that weekend. So if you've got time over the next week or so to get your bird feeders and get your bird seeds up, there's a
get
good
them ready.
Chance.
Start priming it. Start priming your garden.
Exactly. You might have a good chance by the Big Garden Bird Watch. Big Bird.
Garden Watch.
Big Bird Garden Watch?
Well, I know what you mean. The Big Garden Bird Watch for January 2024. There you go. That's what we call it.
Yeah, that's right. That we can have a good chance of having some nice different species. And you can see different species at different times of the year. So that's one good way of encouraging birds is to feed them. And we've talked about using bird feeders. And we've talked about the plants you can grow to provide the food. And then the water, let's say either saucepans or kind of shallow bits of water. A lot of birds will actually drink from ponds if you have a pond or a small little wildlife area, a damp area in your garden. But for the birds, most of them do like it quite shallow. So either a sloping area of a pond with deeper and shallower bits, or sometimes you can put rocks or things in so they can kind of sit on the rocks and perch on the rocks and then dip in.
Okay. Yeah, we ain't got a pond.
So, my pond is tiny. It's literally an old bucket. which are buried in the ground, but you can make them as small as you like, but it's one of, again, the very good things you can do for not just birds but all sorts of kind of water creatures and things, and again within a very short period of time you can have quite a colony of a friend of mine got one 2 years ago and she's already got newts in there, which is quite exciting.
Oh yeah, I remember newts when I was at school.
And tadpoles, and then, you know, all sorts of amphibian little creatures. And again, it's providing lots of little insects and things, which again helps the birds and helps your kind of biodiversity within your garden. You can kind of really give nature a helping hand by having a bit of water somewhere in the garden.
Good.
And if you can't dig into the water, if you can't dig into your ground, you can even have these like standing water features.
Yeah, so almost like a bird bath thing. Do you remember those? Bird baths, yeah.
Yeah, so again, really good. You know, it helps them clean, helps them feed, helps them kind of purify themselves. And again, it's a good time of year, this time of year, to give those, if you can, get them in, give them a good old scrub, bit of fairy liquid.
Get all the algae out of it.
Exactly, yeah. Watch out for the dog having a secret lick.
Yeah.
All that lovely algae.
Oh, dear. Turns my stomach just thinking about it.
Now one of the reasons people are quite reluctant to bird beads is sometimes birds is sometimes because of squirrels. Do you have any squirrels in your garden?
Every now and again we get the old squiggle on the top on the wall.
I mean, I don't mind them, but for a lot of people it's kind
they are
of
quite
a
cute
wall.
Aren't they
are but obviously seeds are a real fan. Quite often squirrels are quite a fan of bird seed because, again, it's, you know, it's food, really good high energy food for them in the leaner winter months. But you know, if you have squirrels, that can scare off birds. So I've been doing a bit of research about this, and apparently you can add chili powder into your bird seed mix, which is totally fine for the birds, but apparently strongly disliked by the squirrels.
Wouldn't it be too hot for the birds, though?
Well, I have not tested this scientifically. All I'm going is from the RSPB website.
Okay.
A less extreme way of dealing with it is to put these kind of baffles, these kind of like inverted, almost like satellite dish cups at the bottom of your bird feeders, which prevent the squirrels from climbing up.
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, yeah,
holes,
yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah.
I'm sure our listeners have got all sorts of
I prefer the chili powder routine, actually. That sounds more fun. I don't know. I might have to try that.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone has tried it, please get in touch. Is that I have not personally tried it myself.
Is it the smell that just turns them off, or is it would they still try and taste it?
Because
you'd have to have a big bucket of water around, wouldn't you, for them? If it was, might be a bit too hot for them.
You'd have to double your pond size, wouldn't you? No, well, I believe it's the smell, but as I say, I'm only going on information which I found on the RSPB website on that one, but I do know it's something of concern to a lot of people. And
okay, something else I've learnt today then.
Yeah, well, we'll see. And if anyone's given it a try, just let us know.
Yeah.
And then the third thing we can do for birds is providing shelter. So birds need to nest, as we know, in kind of springtime, but they also need somewhere to sleep and to roost at night and to generally hunt about for food and bits and pieces. So the more different kind of slight different spaces we can provide, the more likely we're going to be able to give birds somewhere to stay in our gardens. So we can do this in a variety of ways. There are nest boxes you can buy, or you can even build yourself, which are good for things like robins and tits, kind of quite small ones. But then a lot of birds will be either ground nesting or nest in kind of shrubby, woody little trees as well. So if you do have trees, or particularly things with lots of multi stems at a low level, that provides a nice, quite shrubby, thick area for the birds.
We've got a lot of birds in the hedges around our garden.
Yes, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. And that's where they like to kind of feel safe, and then they can pop out from there to go and feed. It's actually against the law. It's against the Countryside and Wildlife Act to interfere with nests or to undertake hedging or pruning work in the nesting season, which tends to be from March onwards. So if you are thinking, okay, that hedge will really need to prune back, now is a good time to do it, or wait until the end of autumn season so you're not interfering with birds in that critical nesting and fledgling time.
I'll have to remind the wife of that, because every time she cuts it, she always cuts through the electrical cable.
Ooh, that is also always a risk with these things, trying to work out what it is that you can do. So that's it. And then, you know, it's my normal messy approach to life that, you know, if you leave your leaves on the borders, that's great for blackbirds to kind of pick through and dig up all the earthworms and things like that. So those kind of spaces for birds just to hang out doing their birdie type of things. Not necessarily too messy, but it just means that you're providing a variety of habitats for them. So that's my top three things, really.
Excellent.
Give them food, water, and shelter.
Okay.
And join in with a great big bird watch. I'm going to be doing that.
Yeah, and we've done a thing about frost, haven't we, today as well? Although we had a bit of snow on Monday. I don't know if we're going to get much this rest of the week. We probably won't, actually. I think that's about it.
No. Well, it's one of those funny things, isn't it? It comes in flurries, and this is the time of year when the days start to get a bit longer, but it's much colder in general than before Christmas.
So I said to the wife, that snow shovel she bought me 4 years ago was a waste of money.
Well, in a changing climate, who knows? You know, you might be using that to paddle down the river.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, I might be. To scoop the water out of the garden.
Indeed.
So before we go today, then, what's your pick of the pops for today?
Oh, well, this is one of my favourite birds in the garden, just because I think the song is so lovely and reminds me of those lengthening evenings come spring. So I would like for my track of the week, please, to have the Beatles singing Blackbird.
OK, thank you very much. We see you in a couple of weeks' time.
Indeed we will. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much for joining us, Claire. Have a good day.
Cheers.
Bye.
Gardening tips on Basingstoke Community Radio.